So we're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture. If you want to follow along, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We'll read through that, and we'll pause, and just I'll invite some comments also by you as we read through this passage. It is a moment in the lives of some people, the shepherds, a moment in their lives where from that point on, life was never really going to be the same again. And the basic idea for what we're talking about here today, I think as we look at this story, the basic idea of the story is that when you encounter Christ, you should never really be the same. Let's take a look first at this passage of Scripture. Okay. Let's read it aloud together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. So here's a moment, a life-transforming moment in their lives, a moment where they begin to find out that life will never truly be the same. Based on what you've heard about shepherds, what do you know about them, at least about biblical shepherds? What have you heard about? On the bottom of the social rung. They were poor. Not the upper crust, not the elite. They what? They were smelly. Probably. Sure. Anybody else? Isolated from others. Yes. They were thought of as people who didn't have a very good sense of what is mine or thine. People held them in suspicion as people who would just pick up and walk away with what they had. So, what would you say would be kind of equivalent today of the shepherds?
Janitors.
A janitor. Lower rung. People have thought of that job as that way. I've been a janitor before.
Shepherds have changed.
They have changed. Okay. Any other examples? There was this. Homeless people. They were kind of distrusted. Yeah. These are people who lived out in the elements. Drifters, surely. The minimum wagers. Yeah. I've been a minimum wager.
The poor.
Certainly. So we know that about the shepherds. And here they are, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. Just doing their work. Interesting time for something to happen. I don't know about you, when you're out camping and it's really dark, you know, you think about lions and tigers and bears, oh my. What could be out there? You're a little more on the edge at night, it seems like. These were people who pulled the late shift. Man. And then this great thing happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified. King James Version says they were sore afraid. It's another way of describing the reaction. Terrified is another word. I loved our little angels here this morning. And sometimes when we think of angels, we think of little cherubs flying around God's throne in heaven, these little tiny half-naked cherubs that we also think of on Valentine's Day. And that is not a picture, a good picture of the angel of the Lord. The angels of the Lord, many times in Scripture, were outfitted with things like swords. They were magnificent beings that just about any time they visited someone, they were terrified or awestruck at what in the world is going to be. The angels were sometimes God's instruments of justice. So these people were really concerned about what was happening, what was appearing to them. And you think about what it would be like in any depiction of Christmas if you gave the angels around swords, you would have a different picture. I can't imagine what this would have been like. What would it have been like to have seen something brilliant, something otherworldly?
I also think they're big.
You think they're big?
Yeah. Part of their being so frightened.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to that. What would it be like to be in the presence of an angel? What would they, I know this sounds absurd, but what would they smell like? You know, the things that come out of a dryer, or, you know, would there be this just super fresh smell about them that because they come from someplace holy, it almost hurts your nose. Who knows? Huh?
As well as your eyes.
What would it be like to be in the presence of something of such purity? But they say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that's where we get to basically the message that was given. So let's read through the message. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Any words here or ideas stand out to you as you read through that? Anything that just jumps out to you that was a little different from past year's readings? Anything you notice? The fact of it, okay.
Because that was a very humble beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed that to bring forth his divinity.
The stress on the city of David.
Okay, there's the stress on the city of David, yes. Which would be, what stands out to you about that? Anything that stands out to you over here? For all people. Good news for all people. A Savior, that's That's so interesting. These people, even though they're minimum wagers, they've been brought up in a culture that has been hoping for a savior, a Messiah. And for all the people, isn't that interesting? That would include minimum wagers. That would include people like me, ordinary people, for all the people. It was that stood out to me as well. And then the repetition of two words, you, where it says, to you, this will be assigned to you, and I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.
And you will find.
You will find.
A Savior has been born to you.
To the shepherds. They're hearing this. Certainly it's broader. It's much, much broader. It broadens out to everyone. But it did, I'm certain it meant to these shepherds, to me.
The good news is also a great joy.
Okay.
But the thing is, the angels went to the shepherds, the lowliest of all people in the country, to let them know what a wonder has happened.
Why do you think God chose to do it that way? Okay. So he helps everyone. He helps everyone. Anything else on this? Why would he choose this way?
I think God exalt the humble.
Okay. So, for those of you who maybe couldn't hear that, God chose this way to exalt the quality of all people. Okay? It's a huge honor for them. Yes? Sure. So they maybe have been the only ones paying attention. Sure. That strikes me interestingly. Some shepherds I have met are not, they're the people who notice things that others don't. They've been around a bit. They are still very sharp, smart people. But they will see and observe and point out things that I would never see. They could see an elk moving down in a little area. Among trees. Don't you see that? And I have to look, and I have to look, and I have to look. No, I don't see it. You know, so they observe, they see things, and maybe they illustrate responding as well. Responding. There are some people, this may again go back to why God chose the people. These are the people who responded. If you think about about Herod, how Herod basically wouldn't walk the 7 miles out to Bethlehem to explore this at all. He just sends people. And yes, the wise men came all the way from Persia. So interesting. So they kind of illustrate, I think, for us this thing of responding. Yes.
What struck me is that, yes, the angels came to them, but they sent the shepherds to some place that was very comfortable, that they were familiar with, to a barn, to a manger. They didn't send them someplace that they were afraid to go.
Okay.
But they were welcome right where they said.
Interesting. It's all custom fit. They were sent to a place where they would be comfortable, a barn, not a palace. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
That just sounds like good news to me. Can you say that? That's good news. That's such good news. Flipping it on end.
This is for everybody.
Yeah. It had been just another elite group if it had been the other way, wouldn't it? It had been something that the haves had and the have-nots did not. Sure. So these for those of you who may not have heard that, these humble beginnings demonstrate the glory of God, how God superintended and cared for and protected Christ in his birth, and even to the consternation of someone like Herod, who had evil intent toward finding out where Jesus was, it still demonstrates God's glory, that he protected him. Great. Well, let's take a look at another part of the story. But the angel said to them, would you read with me? The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, they're not to be afraid. It's kind of interesting. Joseph, I don't know that we get the experience of Joseph being afraid when the angel came to him in a dream. You know, and Mary was wondering, how can this be, when the angel visited her? But here, in this case, these guys are just, they're just shaken. They're terrified. But he calms them, and he tells them this great news, tells them not only that their Savior is going to be born, but they'll be able to find him through this particular sign. A sign that probably in Bethlehem, they all they had to do is say, okay, and they knew this, probably where all the stables were, let's just go looking for stables. So they just start making the rounds. And sure enough, they find him just as they expected. Anything stand out to you in this part here? Okay, let's take a look at the next. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So there was this personal word and then this great exclamation point by this choir that appeared as well. Stunning, stunning thing. What a story to get to tell your grandchildren. I was there. Let's read on. And when the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. It was as they were told. I've always wondered where Luke got this information. Luke said, we're told, made a very careful investigation of all the things surrounding the birth and life of Jesus Christ. And I kind of wonder if he got this information from Mary. Because Mary would have been there when the shepherds came and told them everything that went on. And it would have been a perfect source for what he wrote. An encounter with God that is confirmed in every way by what they saw and what they experienced. There he is, just as we had been told. Let's continue. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing. We first have this meeting, and I think this was terribly personal for them. It had to have been terribly personal. You see something you've never seen in your life, you're told a message, and you walk up there, and it's just as it was had said. It had to have become very personal to them, this meeting. But then there's, I think we see in our story at the beginning of movement outlined here. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. It wasn't just personal, something that they just tucked away and never thought of again. This is too cool to keep to yourself. This is too grand. This good news that we just heard about, we need to tell other people about. And so they began to go and tell them about what had happened. You see the beginning of movement here? They experienced Christ, and I think they were never really the same again. The fact that the transformation had occurred is indicated in their movement outward to reach and talk to other people about their newfound hope in Christ. And it shows a reaction out there. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Think of some synonyms of amazed.
Astounded.
Blown away. Dumbstruck.
Incredulous.
Filled with wonder. I got to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
So here are all these amazement, incredulous, astounded, all these words. Those words don't, however, suggest movement, do they? You'd say that's totally amazing and be completely impressed and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can be yes. Yeah. So what's next? He probably did choose people who were going to act on what they heard and saw and experienced. And I think that again shows us that once we experience Christ, we are meant for more. We Our lives are meant to be transformed by this good news. And it, in our passage, I think we see one thing that makes part of the difference, both this eagerness to tell others what they'd experienced, but also the reflectiveness of Mary. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Something as amazing as the birth of a Savior, someone whom we're told participated in our creation, someone who we're told is not only came to us, but is coming to us again. This deserves careful thought. What are the implications for me? Knowing this, what are the implications for my life, how I should live? Am I going to be one of those who just wonder and say, wow, wasn't that cool? Or am I going to actually respond in some way to God for having been given this new good news? Well, again, a third thing that I think indicates that they were never the same is this. Verse 20, would you read that with me? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, when it says the shepherds returned, where do you think they returned?
To their flocks.
Back to work. They went back to work. But work was different. It was different. Their lives were changed. Their lives had a quality to them that they didn't have before the angel appeared. Their lives were transformed in a remarkable way, I think, by their obedience and responsiveness to God. Oswald Chambers wrote this: it is quite possible to be enchanted with Jesus Christ and with his truth and never to be changed by it. There is a real peril in being enchanted but unchanged. This confronts me. I would do well to check myself on this account. It is much easier for me to be enthusiastic about Jesus without pausing to see how I am being obedient and changed by him. Amen to that. We are being changed by that babe born many, many years ago. Here's something that I've it seems like I found in my life. There are times when I really need to check myself about whether I'm just being enthusiastic or obedient. I have found that once I began to be changed by Christ, that it became so much more difficult to walk away or to walk differently. At times, my spirit has been checked and disciplined, and God has brought me back as a shepherd to him and caused me to walk in his ways again. And I am so grateful for that. But here's the truth. How I interact with Christ, how I embrace him and are obedient to his will, is so important. I think this has been true in my life. Where there is no change, no response to Jesus, there was no blessing, no impact, no influence, no ministry, no sense of living vitally with him. When I changed in response to what he wanted me to do. When I said yes, was obedient, there came blessing and power and impact and influence and ministry. In almost every situation where I've responded that way, there's new truth that comes to me, and new help and new understanding. And you can guess this, that when I've responded to that part of the change, there was more change coming. That occurred as well. So in the one sense, it is a vicious cycle. No obedience, no response, no blessing, no impact, little influence. In the other sense, it is a victorious cycle that I can stay in for the rest of my life. New power, new impact, new influence. I pray that coming to Christ this Christmas helps us live this better as his sheep, that we follow him in the victorious cycle of saying yes always to the Lord and Savior born to us on this day.